We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Keystone Sports Network, the Keystone Sports app. Andy, since it's you and I, we've got the four fingers up in the air.
That's our
when
tradition.
I say Andy, you and I am Jim Galante sitting in for Dustin Hawkinsmith. He is Andrew P. Shea sitting in for Greg Pickle. Andy, quarter number four, you ready for it? I think this is a fun topic.
I'm ready, and I wonder, we both have our thoughts. I wonder if we'll cross over. We haven't talked about this.
But our topic is, we are going to talk about our ideas for improving the greatest game in the world, which is college football.
Agreed.
First of all, we agree on that, right?
We do agree. 100%.
Go at it. Let's hear what you got, Andrew.
Oh, so I'm just going to throw one out to start because I know your list is longer than mine. I think the targeting rule needs to be changed.
Ooh, I have that.
Okay. So I wonder if we can agree that I think it needs to go to similar to soccer to be a yellow card, red card scenario. In other words, you're going to review them, right? You can call the targeting, but there has to be an indiscriminate contact type targeting that just is not clearly over the line. It's still targeting a dangerous part of the body that football is trying to get removed, but it was not, in other words, was it done with bad intentions or not? In other words, you have to kind of draw the line. You can see some of these where you shake your head and you go, okay, yeah, he hit his helmet, but that's 100 miles an hour, two guys going for the same 6 inches. And yes, the defensive guy targeted and got his head up near his shoulder or the crown of his helmet stuck him, but there was not a bad intention there. You get him a yellow card and that goes out. But when the ones where you see it and you go like, oh, dude, you just had bad intentions and you did something really stupid, red card him and get him off the field. I just think there needs to be a little breathing instead of it being so black and white and clear cut. And it's not really clear cut, but the rules say it is clear cut, but it's still an interpretation. So if you're going to leave it up to review an interpretation, let them have a little leeway with a yellow card and a red card.
And I couldn't agree with you more.
Nice.
And Penn State folks, we've seen examples of it. And I think the one you gave, defensive player, offensive player are both heading towards the ball, trying to catch the pass or intercept the pass. There's that contact. It's random. You just normally blame it on the defense, but it could just as easily been called on the offense. All right, my turn. And you know I have multiple. But first thing, and this hits on something we talked about, how could the winner of the best conference in college football not make the playoffs? Here's the fix.
The SEC champ made and won the national championship last year.
I'm going to let you slide on that, Andrew.
Sorry.
I do not want to correct you on the radio, so I'll let you go with your mistake.
I'm joking.
But here's what you do. It's easy. Expand it to 8 teams. You win one of the Big 5 conferences, you're in. What this does is it makes everything better. You know if you win your conference, you make the playoffs. And you could schedule more interesting out-of-conference games if you want. Playoff 8 teams, win your conference, you go. That still leaves you with 3 open bids. And by the way, then on the first round of that, you give the 4 higher bids a home game. Could you imagine what Beaver Stadium would look like with a home playoff game, Andrew?
They got to get there. I never thought in my lifetime we would see the 4. So I'm very happy that we have a college football playoff. I'm resistant to expansion, but I understand the difficulties now that have faced the Big Ten Conference the last 2 seasons, despite the college football playoff committee making a rare mistake, which I think they're doing a pretty good job, by the way, making the rare mistake and taking Ohio State over Penn State 2 years ago. I just think that set them in a precedent, took them down a road that they themselves, it was a self-inflicted wound. I like 6 if you're going to expand. I like the 5 conference champions and you got a leeway to pick one. I like a first round bye and I like 3 versus 6. I like 4 team, you know, the other, a 4 team playoff, the 2 winners go play 1 and 2, higher seeds. Get it? I don't know how you seed with conference champions. That would be interesting to me. So that eliminates that. But I agree with you, but I'm resistant to going to eight.
Well, the thing just, of it is, that's all seeding, I think. If seeding is the biggest issue, hey, that's not the worst thing in the world.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
To me, the worst thing in the world is winning your conference.
Right.
And not making it. And
yeah.
Although the committee, I don't think the committee's been random. We see it. One loss is better than two losses, no matter how bad your schedule is.
Right.
Anyway, you want to go next?
Yep. The ruling on the field is under review. So for me, that means it's time to go put the laundry in or walk the dog or something. I mean, to me, centralized replay centers that they're going to, I like that, obviously, and they're fairly new. And they will do better in 18 than they did in 17. But 2 to 3 minutes per call seems to be way too slow for an already too long game. So they need to do better. The ruling on the field is under review. I don't mind the number of times they do it. It's the length of time that they go that it takes with the centralized location. As I'm struggling with the time factor and the lag and drag on the game.
In other words, if it's not an egregious error, so I can't tell, it takes me more than a minute to see that it's a problem, just go with the call on the field.
I just fix it, but you can still call. I don't mind the number of the ruling on the field is under review. The ruling on the field is under review. Like, how many of these are we going to get a game? I don't have a problem with
that. But it shouldn't take 10 minutes.
But it shouldn't take this long.
Okay. My turn. And I'm going to lump two or three of them together so I could get mine in.
Got them.
We're going to talk about coverage, television coverage of the games. First of all, push noon games back to 1 p.m. I know that pushes everything else back a bit. I could live with that. If you attend the games and tailgate, if the game's at noon, not long enough to tailgate.
Noon to midnight. I want noon.
Nah. Started at 1, more time to tailgate. Next up, and I talked about this before when we had Greg on, never have commercial kickoff commercial, ever. The last thing in this TV coverage, I do not care what a player's girlfriend, mother, father, uncle, barber in the stands has to say when the game is going on.
Cover
the
one.
Football game.
Yeah, I don't. In-stand interviews are no good. I don't mind like a little in-game feature, you know, a little caveat or a soundbite from players when you get there early in the week and you talk to the players. And I don't mind those as drop-ins, but live interviews from the stands of grandmom, the football game is not the time or place for that. If you're going to take time for something live, get me down on the field and tell me something about the game that you can see down on the field that I can't see through my screen or you can't see in the stands. You know what I mean? So if you're going to do that, don't take me to the stands. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
So, like, go to the sideline reporter who'll say,
yeah,
gee, that last pass he completed was a good pass. Something.
No, I like I think they're getting better at it. Like,
they do have a couple guys who are good.
They have
the
some good
line.
People down there now that are telling you, like, you can tell that their team is down or the offense is yelling at the coach or the head coach came in and said this. There is some interesting through the game stuff that they're getting rather than just it's raining, it's cold down here, the wind is blowing, you know, stuff like that. Don't talk about the weather. Talk about anything but the weather and tell me a little bit about football and don't give me Barber or somebody in the stands. I agree.
All right.
Wholeheartedly agree with that one.
You got another one?
I do. Don't do what you did to us college football in week two last season. Just don't do this. It's week two. You had Auburn versus Clemson, Oklahoma versus Ohio State, Notre Dame versus Georgia, and Stanford versus USC. All four of those football games kicked off within 90 minutes of each other. It's week two. Know who your marquee and where your meal plate is coming from and schedule it accordingly for the game of college football. I understand that everybody else is playing and that everybody gets on TV and has an opportunity to be covered in their region, but don't do that with a national schedule like that. Don't put them together like that. Get with the networks, get in the room, NCAA and the conferences, get in the room with the networks, figure out what your meal tickets are, and don't do that again. That is a college football killer in terms of your Q rating.
So you're just saying spread those games out over
more weeks. Yeah, spread them
out.
They all four started within 90 minutes of each other. In other words, essentially you had to choose between one or two of these four games to stick with because you can't do four screening. Right, you can't do it. So unless you go to, you know, someplace where they, you know, like Buffalo Wild Wings or some bar like that where they have all the games on, but then you're not really watching football. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're not really watching football. I mean, I bounced between those four games, but I never really got to watch any of those games. And that's the problem right there. Not because they're just such good teams.
It shouldn't be a challenge to watch the games. You're right. They should spread those out. I've got a couple more I'd like to throw out. First one, again, we've talked about this a little bit, one of my pet peeves. Why does the Southeast Conference play 8 conference games and the Big Ten play 9?
Man, and you're going to beat that drum.
Oh, I am.
It's
wrong, Andy.
Right.
And like I said, if you could picture that 9th game that Penn State has is against Wisconsin and vice versa. Michigan, you know, that 9th game is against Wisconsin. Teams are going to lose that second game, and they're going to lose an opportunity to go to the playoffs. And meanwhile, Alabama is playing McNeese State.
At its core, the Big Ten is right. But it just tells you who's running college football. And it is not the NCAA. It is the 5 Power 5 conferences, because they are deciding individually what they each do instead of the NCAA telling each one of those Power 5 conferences how they must do it. So that's a power struggle, but at its core, the 9 games in Penn State in 2000 that Penn State and the Big Ten has to play in 2018 with the college football playoff, you know what? Big Ten's right. They do have it right, but that doesn't mean the SEC is going to change, because the SEC decides what they want to do.
Why should they?
Correct.
They get 2 teams in the playoffs.
They're winning.
Let me ask you this, because when is the last time Alabama played Georgia in a regular season game?
I don't disagree. You're not going to get me to disagree with you, Jim. I think the Big Ten has it right, in other words, to identify the 4 best teams in the country, including the including conference championships games. The way the Big Ten has set up their cross schedule and the way they make their teams do it is the way it should be done across college football and the Power 5 conferences. But what the Big Ten has chosen by being the martyr and being right, they're hurting their conference as well.
And if their goal is to get one of their teams to the playoffs, and I'm going to slip in one more on the scheduling with the Big Ten. Penn State plays Ohio State last year, biggest game of the year. Both teams beat each other up. And what does the Big Ten do? They send them both on the road the following week against tough opponents.
Both lost?
They were 0-2 the following week. Yeah. And that, to me, is something the Big Ten can control. And they shot themselves in the foot. Andy, that has to be our final note. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks, Jim.
Why don't we do this again?
Let's do it again.
All right. Andy, we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later in the week.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.